Every woman knows the feeling. That quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot. The moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Rachel Yucatel from the Misunderstood podcast, and I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Holistic Goddess. Holistic Goddess is a one-stop shop for all your holistic health needs. They offer a wide range of products from castor oil packs and collagen to natural bug spray. They do the hard work for us, checking ingredients and investigating where each product is made so you can focus on finding what works for you. Holistic Goddess brings on recognized brands weekly, often focusing on women-owned brands in North America. And they personally try all the products before adding them to the store. It's always exciting to see what new products they'll feature next. If you're looking for reliable health solutions that keep the unique needs of women in mind and cater to all ages and stages, definitely check out Holistic Goddess. And for 15% off, use code UNDERSTOOD. Go to www.holisticgoddess.com and again, use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. Sarah Fraser and Misunderstood in the house again, live on Rumble. How are you, Sarah?
Rachel, I'm so good. How are you holding up, girl, though? I mean, nothing is worse than having COVID.
Well, yes, everybody, I've had a week of COVID ever since I went to Renegades, which is a two-stepping joint with none other than Harry Dubin.
I saw that. First of all, you're a great two-stepper. That looks so fun. Is that in Florida? I was so jealous.
Can I just tell you something? It's in the middle of Patriotville, okay? So it's like everybody there is sporting a Trump shirt, you know, and then these little cutoff jeans and cowboy boots. And we were out to dinner and were bored with each other, I guess. And he said, we do really silly shit together. So he was like, let's go to Renegades in two-step. There's a class tonight. So we get there and we start taking classes with people. And it was so funny. We made all these crazy, weird, bizarre friends. I was in heels because I thought we were going to dinner on the island of Palm Beach, right? And anyways, we had a great time. I'm planning on going every week, every Wednesday, by the way, if you live in Palm Beach or West Palm, it's family night and you can bring your kids. They teach you and it's like a whole fun thing. How great is that?
Amazing. No, I would have done that in a heartbeat. It looked so much fun. I'm sure any night with Harry Dubin, the infamous Harry Dubin from Real Housewives of New York. Yep.
And then the next morning he came over still smelling of alcohol, by the way. And I was obviously fuming with COVID, which I didn't know. And he came over and played. He was my fourth in my pickleball tournament in my backyard the next day. So we had a very nice weekend.
So well, Harry can rally, huh? Harry like can still hang. He can party all night, come and play around a racquetball.
Yeah, he totally can. He was really good. And we decided that this will be something ongoing that we do. He's heading to Turkey for the holiday and probably to meet up with some chicks. And I had to spend the week in bed, but anyways, here we are. I want to talk to you, Sarah. I want to get right into this. The biggest news of the week, by the way, everybody, we are weekly in front of you live on Rumble, and then we put it out on our feeds. But we want to do like a recap of the week that we found to be the most important things and bring them to you and kind of discuss them. You know, we're not like journalists on CNN or Fox, but we have our own opinion. And so we just thought we would bring it to you. So my biggest story of the week, Sarah, that I want to talk to you about is the fact that Celine Dion is back, baby. Like this, I was in tears. By the way, as soon as I saw the news, I sat down on my couch and watched
her documentary that came out, which I didn't know came out a month ago on Prime called I Am Celine. And I was in tears. I mean, she is amazing. And not only that, we get to see her perform at the Olympics tomorrow night in Paris. So I'm just, let me give you a moment to speak because I've just haven't stopped speaking about it.
No, keep speaking. I love hearing your opinions and thoughts. This is amazing. I actually, because she suffers from something called stiff people syndrome, which essentially is when almost your body freezes, right? Your muscles, it's like a nerve disorder. Like everything freezes up.
Yes.
So I actually was under the impression, I did not watch the documentary, but maybe you can tell me this from the documentary. I thought she was never going to perform again, that they didn't think she could ever sing again publicly.
Well, I think for the first time in the documentary, you really see how debilitating it is. She lost her ability to sing. She was, you know how she is, she's very dramatic, but she says in a very dramatic way how terrible her voice is. She is very stiff. She cannot move. And there are times when she tries to sing again and she goes into the studio to sing. She has a little bit of a difficult time, but after hours of doing it, she goes into a room and you watch her have a seizure. It's terrible. And she is frozen in position. And it's not a typical seizure that you see with people, you know, kind of bouncing all over the place. She's frozen stiff. And it was very upsetting to watch, I have to tell you. And so I'm a little bit nervous about seeing her perform tomorrow. I'm very interested to see how she will perform. But not only that, the fact that she's having a residency, you know, at Resorts World. So now I'm friendly with the owners of Resorts World. That's a whole nother story. I used to live in Vegas and I was with them recently and they had told me how she was going to sign a deal in 2021 when they opened and she had to back out. So the coming back there now is huge news. I'm going to be I actually texted one of them last night and I said, I need tickets to Celine. I will go anywhere for Celine. I've seen her once at Caesars and I just spent the whole time, you know, in tears singing with all my gay friends. Have you seen her?
She was that good. No, I would love to. I mean, she is one of the greatest singers of all freaking time. I mean, amazing.
Of all time.
And I absolutely love how quirky she is. Like, I love how bizarre she is. It's so
bizarre. She's so dramatic and bizarre. And the things she does with her face. And she's so into the moment and the drama. And, you know, but the thing that resonated with me is that she loves the people. She loves connecting with the people. And since she lost the love of her life, Renee, you know, like she just, her whole life has been about performing and she just doesn't have the performance. Another thing, because I'm such a Celine Dion fan.
Yeah, you really are. You're a stan here. Okay.
She's one of 13 children. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And you know, she met Renee, you already know this, when she was like 12 years old. I mean, Renee like made her career.
Yeah.
He like signed her. They didn't start their like romantic relationship until what? I don't know. Was she 19, 20?
Wow. So they say, but yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Well, they're going to stand by that story. You can guarantee it.
Yeah. I know.
To protect her legacy. They didn't hook up until she was 19 is what they call it. But he crafted her career. And look I think of Celine and Whitney Houston. There's really only two women that were ever in that category. And, you know, Renee probably saved her life. He probably.
Maybe Mariah.
Oh, yeah. And Mimi is on that. Yes. Mariah is there for sure.
Yeah. But the voice is incredible. Okay. I know no one else cares about Celine as much as I do. So we can move on. But that was the highlight of my week. What's the biggest news in your week, do you think?
Well, mine is political. I mean, I think we are living through just an insane, wild political time.
It's exciting now.
It is exciting. I have no idea what is going to happen in November. I would love for you to get your crystal ball out and tell us. So, you know, we talked about last week on the show, there was a lot of rumors, including that Senator Chuck Schumer had gone to President Biden and said, you have to back out. You have to back out. He did this weekend. I mean, it was Sunday. It was the biggest news. It was breaking news. It was breaking in. He also, President Biden has COVID, announced that he is stepping down. And then like within hours, I guess this is what I'm so fascinated about with politics. Obviously well orchestrated behind the scenes, but it seems as though the Democratic Party, huge donors, Hollywood have rallied and Kamala Harris is going to be the Democratic nominee for president. She's running.
So there was a little bit of gossip in the last 24 hours about why Obama hadn't come out and spoken. So I got on the phone after you sent me that article and I spoke to a couple of my Republican friends. And, you know, it definitely is not because he didn't want to back her. And as we're actually on live right now, it looks like he's going to come out and back her. But, you know, he sees himself as really the head of the party. I think he wanted to wait and give her the moment to earn it herself so that people didn't start saying, which they did, that she didn't earn it, right? She needed to get her first ad out. She needed to come out on her own. She didn't need a man behind her saying, Kamala is the one I want to endorse. I think that these people, even Republican friends that I have, are saying, no. Like, everyone needs to take a minute. That's his, that's his MO. Like, he doesn't come out immediately. He's slow. He's a slow speaker. He's going to give her her minute to do it on her own. So, I mean, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I thought it was an odd choice for people to start saying that he didn't think she could win. Did you agree with that?
I think it was interesting that he did not come out immediately.
Why would he?
Because I know everything is planned. They all act shocked, you know, the Democratic Party and people close to Biden. Oh, they're surprised. They're surprised. And do I think there was an element of the Biden family wanting to hold on? I mean, who gives up power voluntarily? Nobody. But, you know, this has been well in the works, and especially since that disastrous debate. So this isn't like, you know, when the DNC says, oh, this is shocking. No, it's not shocking. Everybody knew behind the scene. Now AOC had streamed live a couple of weeks ago where she says in private rooms, people have real doubts within the Democratic Party if Kamala can win. I find them waiting a little suspect because, you know, I think they already knew, right? Huge donors. She raised the most money in a single day for independent donors. And I'm talking from people of color to women, over $80 million in one day. Mm-hmm. I probably believe in my heart behind the scenes that former President Obama has some real doubts of if she can win. It's going to be extremely, extremely close.
Well, are you saying that he was taking a breath because he wanted to see if there was other people to float instead of her? I mean, I think if he believed she couldn't win, if he believed she couldn't win, the best thing for him to have done is to get out there and say, I support her, because that would help her. So I actually don't agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think they cannot afford to have any more confusion in the Democratic Party. So I think President Obama was waiting to see what the public reaction was. It was extremely positive. I mean, of course, now we've seen like racist comments about her is, you know,
terrible,
all kinds of things, right? Which she knew was coming. But, you know, I think
That for a second. I'm sorry. It wasn't necessarily just racist, though. It was, you know, sexualized. And the fact that basically she gave a blowjob and had sex with people to get to the position she was at. And
that's great.
I mean, I thought that was so inappropriate. And for the Republicans or, you know, the MAGAs or whoever it is that are saying these things, they want to get women to vote for them. And they're going to talk like that about a woman. I mean, what are they thinking? I just thought that was so backwards.
It's so backwards, and it's stupid of the Republican Party because they can win this by constantly calling her out for the border, which has been an absolute mess. Mm-hmm. Constantly saying, where does she stand with Israel? Very vague at this point. They don't even have to go there. But I mean, again, this is my problem. This is why I identify as an independent. Both of these parties are completely lost. They are. We need a democratic revolution in this country. And I find it hard to support either one because,
you know what? Yeah,
the Republicans they don't even need to go there. And I mean, quite frankly, too, she has been in hiding. You know, they have hid her very, very well. You do not see her speak much. Why is that? I think a woman can lead this country 100%, might be her. You know, and we may see an incredible debater and an incredible person on that stage who is commander in chief. But I mean, she has been well hidden. Of course, you don't hear any of that now. Mm-hmm. She doesn't speak publicly. Why is that? Well, they brought her out a lot, you know, at the beginning. And then it was sort of, she laughed too much. It was awkward. Didn't make a lot of sense. So let's see how it goes. I mean, the Republicans could solely be leaning on that. But I do think we talked about J.D. Vance. He's certainly well accomplished. He is the American dream in many ways. But I mean, do they have a woman problem now? I mean, should President Trump former President Trump have picked a female as his running mate because are they in serious trouble?
Well, I think that's a good point. And also, let's talk about the fact that now Jennifer Aniston, who usually is very quiet, has come out really putting J.D. Vance on blast about the fact that he said that women that don't have children are like cat women or whatever. I don't even know what he said.
Crazy single cat ladies. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with this guy? I mean, this is what happens when you have a hillbilly as your VP pick. So I think that they're going to have all sorts of problems. I definitely think that now, you know, it's like the African-American community, the women are all stoked for what is going on. I think this is getting very exciting. Let's talk about VP picks for a second. Do you have someone that you think is a good match for her?
I think she has to go with, you know, they're talking about Gabby Gifford's husband, who's the senator in Arizona. I think her best pick would be the governor of Pennsylvania, whose name is
Josh Shapiro.
Josh Shapiro. Because I do think that they have an Israel problem with her at this point. We'll see. Josh Shapiro is Jewish. If they come out and they can win that vote.
Wait, her husband's Jewish. What's the Israel issue?
She did not show up to see Bibi. She did, you know, her husband came to a Jewish women's group and spoke, you know, kind of saying that they, of course, Kamala supports Israel, will remain supportive. Right. Bibi did not thank her in his speech. He did former President Trump. He did Joe Biden. Maybe there's nothing there. It's being projected in the media that there could be something there, that she may break away from the Biden administration that has been very pro-Israel and have a different stance with them.
Okay, but without her speaking, I think it's unfair for people to make an assumption of what that means. I mean, I have a podcast like you do. I can't tell you the amount of comments I got about how are you not taking a stand? Why are you saying nothing? Saying nothing is saying something. And I was just like, oh my God. So imagine, did you get any of that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. So no like, matter what you say, you're going to get, you know, people that whatever decision you make, or even if you're in the middle, you get people that unfollow or follow or whatever. Yeah. No.
I think that's tough. Wait, but I think you're right. I mean, Josh Shapiro, so Pennsylvania is a key state. You know, it's crucial for any presidential election. He's a former attorney general. I'm looking at his stuff right now. And his, you know, I think people really like him. The other one that people are talking about is Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky. I think that's interesting because he's a governor in a red state. And he has shown the ability to, you know, attract people from both sides. And it's interesting because as a red state, you do have a lot of people in there that are Republican, but aren't necessarily MAGA. So that could be, you know, a very interesting thing. I don't think she needs a woman, even though I do like Gretchen Whitmer. I just don't think that she's the one. And then Gavin Newsom, people obviously are still floating him.
They can't. They're both from the same state.
They're from the same state. You know, here's the issue. All right. And I'm going to bring up something later, but what's the problem in San Francisco? Well, we'll talk about it in a minute.
Which problem? Many, many.
All right. Well, I'll get into it because I was going to bring this up later, but you know, I've got to put my glasses on for that.
Well, the Democrats certainly have the upper hand as of now. I think the Republican Party is very worried.
Are you voting for Trump?
No, I probably will not vote for President Trump. I definitely am more probably conservative, but I truly believe that a woman has the right to choose. And that was a terrible, terrible move. But I probably will write somebody in. I'm not sure. I really am not sure.
So you're undecided.
I'm undecided. Okay. Like, I think Kamala could win my vote. I think she's just got to appear presidential. Like, I want to see what she, without President Biden, stands for.
I love this. Okay. So this will be interesting. We should keep doing this till the election because I'm also undecided.
Really?
You know, for a second after. So first of all, I would have said that I would have voted for a dead dog before I would vote for Trump. But
now you're like, Kamala's like pushing you.
No. And then after the debate, I was like, oh, this is crazy. And, you know, I know Trump and I'm friends with all the patriots. I'm friends with all the MAGAs and I'm very level headed about all of it. So I was like, you know what? I guess I got to vote for this guy because he'll, you know, all my friends are very close with him.
Sure.
And they're good people. So they might say crazy things, but they are good people. So for a second, I was like, I could vote for Trump. And now that Kamala's in it, I think it's really interesting. And I am a pro-choice chick. Okay. And, you know, I just think that there has to, you know, she doesn't have my vote yet, but I think we're both undecided. And this will be interesting to see if somebody can get our vote.
I think us electing a female president is 100% possible. I think she could be it and be.
You think we're ready for that?
Yeah, no, I do. I do. I think it's more people hate the far left. I do as well. I cannot stand. And I think that if I'm being totally honest, I think so many Americans are so smart. So many women are so smart. Some people are going to vote for her blindly. Some people are going to vote for Trump blindly. But the fear that people have in the middle, like you and I, is we do not believe in these extreme policies that we have seen in states like California. And the fear is she comes from that. And is she going to, and we see it on the parties on both sides, they now pander to the extreme voices. So the fear is like, is she going to pander to those extreme voices? That's truly my hang up with her. Do I think, because a presidency now is run not just by the president, but by so many people around her. And she's going to be supported by incredible leaders like President Obama, Joe Biden, for whatever he can offer, which he's a great American and done a lot, can offer a lot. So it's not just going to be her, but I think it's like, is she going to pander to that crowd? And to me, I just think that is so not where Americans want to be. And personally, my own beliefs is not where I want to be. So that's my only fear with her. So I hope she can come out moderate because she would win my vote.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, nonviolent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
Well, and also it'll be interesting to see who she picks. I mean, essentially, the VP pick is not that big of a deal, but it will be if it's more of a someone down the middle or someone a little bit more Republican friendly, because, you know, then people who are undecided on the Republican team will say, OK, I can handle this. You know, I think at the end of the day, a lot more people than want to admit vote on emotion and the connection they have. And I don't like what Trump came out with in the last 24 hours, which was like, yo, people thought I was going to be nice because I got shot in the ear. And now I'm not going to be nice. And they're calling her all sorts of names. And like we mentioned before, saying that she slept her way to the top. That's
horrible. Horrible.
And it's nasty. And I don't, you know what? I don't even like men. I've dated men who are like that, where they fight dirty. They fight personally. They call you names. They call you, you know, crazy, ugly, old, whatever, as opposed to dealing with why they're mad at you. You know what I mean? I don't like those personal attacks. They make no sense. And you should just stick to the facts and you can win your case sticking to the facts. But
100%. And she can do the same with President Trump, just throw it back at him all, you know, day long, right? And the chaos that was the first round of the Trump presidency. I mean, he went through the most turnover, you know, with people in positions, whether it was militarily or working for different departments. You know, she can go after him all day long on that record. And so could the Republicans with her. I mean, again, like the border right there will tell you everything. I mean, I would love to see him go up there and go, tell us, what have you done for the border aside from let millions of people cross undocumented, children undocumented? I mean, it's insanity.
Okay. So I want to now read this to you because we were talking about San Francisco.
Oh, tell me.
Okay, ready? I wanted to start a new little thing in our chat here of like, best highlights of the week, stories that I found that I was obsessed with. Well, here was one that I found in a random tabloid, I guess. It says, a pair of naked men walking in San Francisco's Castro district came to the aid of a Brazilian tourist by subduing a deranged man, menacing him with a blowtorch. Nudist Pete, I'm not going to name their name, Pete and Lloyd were out strolling in the gay-friendly neighborhood when they encountered a well-known troublemaker threatening to burn the tourist. One of the guys nailed the guy with a right hook and pulled him down until the police arrived. He hoped the rescue would show that nudists are a good contributing members of the community. We just have a relaxed idea of what we're supposed to wear. Do you know that people could walk around naked in San Francisco?
That doesn't shock me. That doesn't shock me. Well, they're good citizens. Does that bother you? I don't mind. Like,
does it bother me? Well, you know what I think is funny?
Anything goes in San Francisco.
But here's the funny part. You have to wear shoes. You can walk around going to work with a briefcase and shoes naked. But you have to sit on a piece of paper or on a blanket.
Makes no sense. No sense in California.
So this is why I want to go back to Gavin Newsom. I mean, is he serious? Why is that acceptable? Why is that?
Gavin, look, in a way, I'm curious what Gavin really thinks. Like, if Gavin probably knew that Kamala was the first choice, but I'm sure Gavin secretly has to be seething because he wants to go against Trump so badly. Mm-hmm. I love Gavin Newsom's personality. He and Sean Hannity are good buddies. And I love when he's on Fox with him. Like, they just have, you know, Gavin is like the best used car salesman you could ever want, right? Which is a great advantage when you're a world leader because you're schmoozing and being slick with other countries. However, the problem with Gavin is he backtracks all the time, right? He does. Now, you can look at that both ways. Is Gavin trying to do new things here in this state, experimenting with things and then going back? He just signed yesterday, I believe, that they're going to, now it is legal that the police department, the counties can come in, remove homeless encampments, I believe almost anywhere, which had been banished a couple of years ago. So, you know, maybe he's trying things, but I don't know. Gavin's a hard one. I actually do enjoy Gavin Newsom a lot. I love the personality. He's the ultimate politician.
I like looking at him.
Hate him. He's very hot, very attractive.
Yeah.
Such a good talker. But I don't know, you know. And if Kamala wins, you know, then you're going to have 8 years of Democrats running the country. Probably very hard for a Democrat to win again. So, gotta imagine he's not exactly thrilled, but he's gonna toe the party line.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at our comments right now. Yeah.
Harris is a loser and a total shitbag loser.
Hey, guys, she may be not your favorite, but why is it that you guys have to be so mean? I just don't get that.
She's not a loser.
I mean, you may not like her.
Well, I mean, you know, they might have a point. Like, let's see. No, she was a tough prosecutor on crime. I love that. But of course, she did a major flip-flop, which is, you know, look, we all change our minds. She was a big defund the police person for a while. Now, we all know that didn't work. We know everyone across this country in all neighborhoods of color, neighborhoods not of color. I mean, it's insane. The defund the police was so dumb. We need to fund the police and reallocate. There need to be social workers out with them every single time. We cannot ask these men and women who are not trained in mental health to go into a schizophrenic person's apartment, home, see them on the street and know what to do and not feel that their life isn't threatened. We need to reallocate that money.
Wait, I'm glad you brought that up. Can we talk about the thing that happened this week with the woman, the African-American woman with the pot of water and the white cops who went into her house?
Yes.
Now, I've watched that video 10 times. Have you watched it?
Yes. Yes, I've seen it. Yes.
So what's upsetting to me about this is at the beginning of the video, she says, you're not going to hurt me or whatever. I'm paraphrasing everybody, but she's at the door for people who haven't seen it. She calls the cops. She heard somebody in the back of her house. Two white cops come. She says something to the effect that makes them say, we're not going to hurt you. We're here because you called us. They look around. They don't see anything. They ask her name. She didn't really she started to be a little shady. So next thing you see is them inside her house asking for her ID. For whatever reason, she was being shady and she wouldn't give them her ID. Now, I don't know if she doesn't have an ID. I don't know if she's an illegal citizen. I don't know what the issue is, but she was being a little odd. Right. So could have been some mental health issues. She could have been on Ambien. Who the hell knows? But right. she didn't produce her ID. I think that was a little strange. So one of the cops started to look around the side and she was asking him what he's doing. She had hot water on the stove. He asked her to turn it off. She goes over there. She did say something about what was the word?
I think it was something like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus or something like that. Right. Now, and she had this hot pot of water. Right.
And he said something like, don't you say that or whatever. Now, what did they think? Did they think she was going to throw the hot water on them? Like, I'm not really sure what happened there, but something escalated and either she got very nervous about something and she was about to throw the hot water and the pot at him. He definitely did not need to shoot her in the face. He could have shot the gun in the wall and it would have scared her. I don't know what was going on there, but this is a crazy scenario. And by the way, I don't think this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I don't think this is a black and white issue. I think this is an abuse of power issue, and it's a man and a woman issue. It could be racial, sure, but it's more like socioeconomical. Like, this is a woman who doesn't have a lot of money. These are two cops coming in, making a rash decision. The whole thing was terrible, but you know, I don't think it's because it's two white cops. I think it's like two people abusing power that don't know how to handle this woman. What do you think?
Well, this is my point, right? Her family says that she was diagnosed schizophrenia. Again, paranoid schizophrenic.
I didn't know that.
On the police video, when asked, are you doing all right mentally? She replies, yes, I took my medicine. Sonia Massey lost her life in this. And according to reports, Massey's family confirmed that she'd been diagnosed paranoid schizophrenia. Court documents filed by prosecutors said Massey appeared to be calm, possibly unwell and non-aggressive. So look, this is my point. Like, we asked these officers to come and make an assessment of somebody who is, they are not mental health workers. They do not know that this woman is having a schizophrenic. Something is probably off. Did she take her meds? She says she did. You know, do we know for sure at this point? I don't know. Let's say she did. You know, and then it just escalates from there. It's terrible, right? Woman lost her life. She didn't need to lose her life. The problem that a lot of people have, even above the racial issue, is this officer was arrested for two DUIs prior. How is this man allowed to be working as an officer?
This is what I'm saying. I think that the abuse of power is the issue. I don't know that it's a white or black thing. And again, I know that's unpopular opinion, but I used to live in New York City not so long ago. And I remember driving down the street and also another time walking down the street during some sort of a parade or whatever. And I was trying to turn on my block. And I remember these traffic cops being so overly aggressive that if I argued with them, they were like, do you want to go to prison? Do you want me to take you in right now? And I'm like, whoa, what? I live there. I'm just trying to turn down the street. And the power dynamic was terrible. Mm-hmm. And I quite frankly don't remember if that cop was white or black. I just remember thinking, these guys are out of their mind. Like, they're out of their mind that they think that they could talk like that. Similar to stewardesses and flight attendants who get really nuts on airplanes. I do think that that's a weird thing. I think we talked about it last week, but
look, I think this police department, I think you have a great point. And this police department seems in Illinois like they handled it very swiftly and quickly. I mean, he was fired, arrested, charged in the fatal shooting. Obviously he'll have his day in court. So, you know, I mean, they handled it.
Are you afraid of the police at all?
No, but I mean, no.
So if you get stopped or if someone comes to your house or whatever, you wouldn't be afraid.
No, I wouldn't.
I would.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
I mean, yeah.
Their word against yours. If they have a certain way to see you, you're fucked. It's not truth. They're not there to protect you. I have to tell you, I've been involved with the cops a couple times. Many years ago in a domestic violence thing with a boyfriend, the neighbors called. They're not trained properly in some states.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And it's scary. And a lot of people don't go into that line of work because they believe in protecting and serving. They do it for a paycheck. They do it for, you know, because they were bullied, you know, I'm not sure. And also all the stuff that I've seen in the Karen Reed case, becoming friends with Turtle Boy and hearing all the corruption that happens, you know, it's scary. It's scary, but I don't believe that people are innately good. That's my personal
opinion.
No, I don't. I think that people, you know, when no one's looking, Not many people do the right thing. That's my opinion.
Really? Oh my God.
But I'm very jaded because of the life I've lived. You obviously have a different version.
I believe that 80% of people are great. I think, and especially
you think 80% of people are great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think 80% of people are crazy or not good. That's so funny that we think, yeah, but I love you.
Well, I love you too. Well, it is perspective. It is what you've lived through. And I'll say this about the police.
It's your personal experience. You're right. That makes you come up with those values. Yeah.
I trust the police up until a point, meaning if they said to me, hey, could you come down to the police station? We have some questions for you in regards to your neighbor, you know, I don't know, disappearance or something like that. Mm. That to me is a sign where I would probably consult a defense attorney and say, do you need to come with me? Because they're not, I mean, maybe they're calling me truly just as a witness, but they're also probably calling me to see if I'm, you know, am I involved? And what can they trip me up in? So, I mean, do I trust the police? Like if I called the police, I'm trying to think of the last time I've called the police, mostly for like emergencies. I feel like somebody being hurt. Like in that case, I would not be afraid of the police. You know what I mean? But I guess it would depend on circumstance. If they were like, hey, could you come down to the station? Could you, you know, like that kind of thing, I would be.
Listen, I watch every night before I go to sleep, I'm watching the ID network or I'm watching something that has to do with police. So I know that they can, you know, sway somebody to, you know, say they committed a crime. Sure. If they didn't do it. So that's just my personal opinion. I'm sure a lot of good ones. By the way, I was thinking about our conversation from last week. I'm going to digress for 1 second. I had to bring my dog to the vet. And the guys who were in the vet, it was a specialty veterinary clinic. It was the entire canine unit of the Palm Beach Police Department. Okay, first of all, these guys were, excuse my language, fucking hot. And the dogs were these huge German shepherds and, you know, and these guys, they're like, you know, Beast, sit, or whatever the dog's name is, right? And the, you know, they Zeus, sit, and the dogs would sit. And I walked in with my Siberian Husky pit bull who had just gotten double ACL surgery. And I was like, oh, I got to tell Sarah, I'm putting into my universe, this is the guy I should be dating. Yeah. A guy who loves dogs, but also is a cop, you know, protecting someone. So I like these kind of cops, but I don't like the cops detective. That are, yeah, I love that.
Look, there's a balance in the universe and you love true crime. And I think nobody that is doing great policing is getting any credit because that doesn't, no one, what's there to talk about? And we're seeing amazing policing happening all across this country, thanks to Update and DNA. You and I like true crime. You like it more than I do, but you know, we are seeing cases, cold cases solved for families whose missing or loved ones were murdered 30 years ago. Those are cops that are going above and beyond and detectives and police forces that are saying, we're going to allocate extra money. We're going to stay extra hours. Those people are never highlighted. Of course, this guy who has a history, you know, with Sonya Massey, he should be held accountable. The Illinois Police Department there is, you know, if in fact he shot her and he really didn't think his life was threatened. I don't know. You know, I think the margin for police is very different, right? Because they are the ones going in. And did he feel like she could have killed him? I don't know. He's going to get his day in court, right? We see the video. Doesn't look good for him. But there's amazing police work that's happening. You should be with a hot detective in Florida. And there's no reason, again, we're the richest country. We're the smartest country. There's no reason that we can't have social workers out with these men and women who are putting their lives on their line. And, you know, I can't remember the guest. I had a guest several years ago on my podcast. I'll find him for next week. He wrote a book about how policing in our country has become militarized. Mm-hmm. And instead of, in the 50s and the 60s, cops were on the street with batons. They didn't have guns. Now, I know we are gun culture, so they probably need that. But, you know, the same cops would work the same neighborhood for 25 years. Now they're moved all the time from different precincts, different. And so they got to know the neighborhood. They knew the people who were troublemakers. They knew the good people. They knew the moms who were single moms trying to raise kids that needed extra help. They would pop in on them. And now, of course, like every fucking thing in this country, it's become so corporate that they were like slashing hours, slashing overtime. They're fighting for budget. So these men and women are moved all around. And he's like, you know, we need to get back to, you had a neighborhood cop. You had somebody you could go to that would help out. And now when they come to like knock on your door, they drive up in a fucking tank. I mean, they're setting the tone for like, we are going to blow you away, bust in the house. And it's hard because we've set that precedent. So how do you pull it back? And you have nut jobs like that guy that tried to assassinate President Trump, who's a wacko. Unfortunately, we've got wackos all around the world. Well, so it's a balance. But I mean, we need these. It needs an overhaul. And I think Defund the Police had that idea. But then, of course, it went too crazy.
Yeah. You know, you brought up the assassination. And I just want to say one thing. Last night, late last night, I got a phone call from the person closest to Rudy Giuliani. I'm going to say that. Okay. I'm not going to say who it is. But and I was asking their opinion about, you know, I asked where they were when they heard about the assassination attempt. They were in Connecticut at a restaurant and somebody brought it up to him. And I said, well, what did you think about it? You know, what's your reaction? And they went on a whole tirade about how Iran is behind the assassination attempt. And I had to stop them because I thought it was so scary because, you know, I personally am friendly with Rudy Giuliani because he did my show. We have a connection because of 9/11. I know he says, you know, he believes a lot of stuff on one side. I don't necessarily agree with him. I don't agree with what's happened to him, but I think it's crazy for people to come up with these conspiracy theories. Now I heard, you know, people that have a platform are saying that Iran is behind the shooting. I was like, guys, how could anyone from Iran get a hold of this dorky kid, teach him how to climb up on a roof and shoot the president? I mean, really, you know? And then, by the way, another conspiracy I just saw on TMZ before we started, did Donald Trump really get shot by a bullet? They don't believe that it really happened. They think it was just like a shard of glass and, you know, and that he's making it out to be something that it wasn't. I mean, I think the conspiracy theories are really,
they're crazy
and terrible. And, you know, it is what it is. We're going to keep hearing about it. But I think this, as we started this conversation, this political arena now is really fun. It'll be really interesting to see what happens. And two undecided girls right here, people, you should get it, slide into our DMs, explain to us why we should vote the way we should vote. And even you're welcome to come on our shows and educate us on what is happening. That's the Sarah Fraser Show or Miss Understood.
I love it. I think it's so fascinating. And I think, you know, because obviously I follow a lot of people. And now I think there's two things. The internet is just a place where people can shoot off their opinions. So everyone should have one. Everyone does. And then two, I think if you are an American and you care about the future of this country, like it's hard because there's so many layers of politics and I do not know all of them by any means, do not know the full game of politics, but I think you have to care. You have to vote, you know, with your heart, do what's best. Sometimes voting best is not always the candidate you would love or is perfect. But I think we all have to get involved, right? I mean, it is the future of our country. And I do think Americans are more involved than ever. And, you know, hopefully we can find some common ground.
Are you registered to vote?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's funny?
I've been mostly Democrat my whole life, actually.
So I moved from New York to Florida. I'm not registered to vote yet. And I'm finding it very hard to figure out how to vote. For some reason, I keep getting, you know, they can't find me in the system and they can't, you know, so I'm going to have to come on in a week or so and tell you if I was able to figure it out. But I'm starting to get nervous that I'm not going to be able to vote because I can't figure out how to register. They're making it very difficult for me. And I'm a smart girl. So
interesting.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that. But yeah. I wanted to just ask you if you were registered. Okay. Let's talk about something more, a little bit more upbeat. Tomorrow, the Olympics kick off and it's kind of exciting. I mean, are you excited to watch it?
I am. I'm excited for the gymnastics. Our girl Simone Biles, I think, is going to bring it. And I was looking at the schedule. So a lot of the men's gymnastics starts Monday, Tuesday. I think Simone Biles is up, what, Sunday or Tuesday?
Sunday, I think. I mean, I don't know if she is, but the women's are starting on Sunday, I believe.
Girl,
So I think it's, I mean, the swimming too.
Really? Is there anybody in the U.S. swimming? See, I used to be a huge Michael Phelps fan. Did you ever meet Michael Phelps?
No, I should have him on because I think he's misunderstood, you know, with the whole drug issues.
Yeah. Well, and mental health, he's a big mental health advocate now.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I think you got to go back and watch. I can't remember what it was, but I think Howard Stern at one point had like, I think he was dating a transgender woman or something. So that was like a whole thing. I think Howard Stern had the girlfriend like on.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael Phelps is a whole thing. So I love Michael Phelps. And where's the Michael Phelps of today? Is there somebody out there like
there
that?
There are. Well, let's go through it. So we have a couple medal hopefuls, gold medal hopefuls.
Oh, all right.
So I listed these. One that's very interesting that people are keeping their eye out for. Okay, ready? Her name, It's a non-binary and transgender runner, Nikki Hiltz. She was assigned female at birth. Last month, she clocked the U.S.'s second fastest time ever in the 1500-meter women's race. She will become one of the first gender non-conforming Olympians. Kind of interesting.
What? From the U.S.?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I think that's interesting. Wait. I'm going to watch her.
What category is she? She's competing in the women's?
In race? Women's. In women's, yeah. But she's non-binary, so she's not man or woman. Fascinating. I don't know. I'm going to watch her. Okay, another new thing. I think we talked about this in our first episode. Breaking, better known as breakdancing, it's making its Olympic debut. There are 32 breakers, 16 B-girls, 16 boys. They're going to compete, contorting their bodies into gravity-defying shapes as they improvise to a DJ's beat. I mean, I don't know how that became an Olympic sport. I interviewed a great guy on the subject, and he is super excited about it. I still don't know how it's an Olympic sport, but I mean, it might be fun to watch, no?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. It's the second Olympic time, for skateboarding, sports climbing, and surfing. Also, I think not many people like it. Here's an interesting fact. Surfers won't bring their boards to Paris. Instead, they will hit the waves on Tahiti in the overseas territory of French Polynesia, 10 time zones and nearly 10,000 miles away from the French capital, but they are still competing. Interesting. Interesting fact. Last interesting fact that I loved that I wanted to bring to your attention. Okay. The Seine. It's meant to host swimming and triathlon races, but pollution threatens those plans. They canceled the ceremony rehearsals last month, citing dangerous levels of fecal bacteria in the water.
Wait, what happened? Wait, but I thought like the mayor of Paris, she like got in, she swam in the Seine.
Yeah. She said the water is wonderful, very cool, very nice. She probably didn't realize there was fecal matter coagulating around her head.
So now they're saying that they're just canceling that one day, or
they're not canceling it yet. They have spent $1.5 billion on a cleanup effort before this starts. So who knows? This just came out this week.
Yeah, she is.
I actually cut this out. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm sure they'll figure it out before the ceremony, or before they have to compete. But I thought that was quite interesting. Obviously, I think people are watching for basketball because they want to see LeBron James. Also the number two ranked tennis player, Coco Gauff.
Her
Olympic debut.
All right,
sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson. She qualified for the last Olympics before testing positive for cannabis.
I love her though. She's a good story. You know, she's another all American dream. She's really pulled herself up. She had a tough childhood. So I hope she wins. That was really sad about the weed thing because she's like, you know, she's got a good little viral persona, but I like her actually. She's done a good PR strategy on herself. She was like super out there on IG and all in everybody's face. She got the marijuana thing, was disqualified. And now she's really stepped back these past couple of years, focused on the running, made like herself like a little bit more low key. I like her strategy. I hope she wins. That would be awesome.
So
playing it.
Yeah. The International Testing Agency says they're deploying a raft of new high tech tools to catch dopers, including artificial intelligence models that can identify unusual results. There was some issue. 23 Chinese swimmers tested positive for a banned heart medication before Tokyo's 2021 Olympics, but they were still allowed to compete. They won 3 gold medals and 11 are set to swim in Paris. I know before we started, I actually had the news on behind me and I was watching. That exact same story just came out today. So I think that's a big deal. People are going to be really looking at testing this time around, making sure that everybody is cleared in the right way so that they are all on level, you know, ground level to compete against each other.
But they're letting them compete, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was in 2021, they let them compete. So this year, I think they're really trying to make sure. But I mean, the last statement I read is that our faith in the system is at an all-time low. This was one of the swimmers, Katie Ledecky, 7-time Olympic champion. She said she felt like her faith in the system was, you know, at an all-time low because of last time. So, you know, she wants to be able to compete with people that are not doping because she's not, you know.
I think this is make or break for the Olympics, right? In a lot of ways. Are people going to watch this summer? Do people care? Now with more, you know, streaming options than ever. And quite frankly, most of the time, my phone is more exciting than television. So, yeah. I mean, do people care? And I think that the Olympics, if they don't get the doping out of it, I don't know. We'll see if the non-binary stuff impacts. It certainly did Bud Light. They did a turnaround. So I don't know, you know, I mean, but I think if they don't get control of that stuff, I mean, do people really care enough for the Olympics to keep, it's a huge business. So, I mean, it's going to keep going for a while, but I'll be curious to see if how their ratings do. You know what I mean? It's not like, I'm sure you remember the 90s when it was like the height, whether right. It was, you know, Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding and Michelle Kwan. I mean, you know, we just had so many great Olympians then and the Olympic drama and people really watched. It was a huge event.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know if those days are gone or not.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you, you know, just yesterday I interviewed one of the most interesting people that I've had on my show, a name that you won't know. Her name is Riley Tejek. She is a captain in the military and I cannot say where she is deployed to right now, but she's not in the United States. I interviewed her at 2:30 in the afternoon. It was 9:30 at night where she was. She is deep in the military in such a way that I'm not allowed to say. I know George, he's probably freaking out right now that I'm even talking about it. And she is a hopeful for the 2026 Winter Olympics for bobsledding. This is her on her screen. First of all, one of the most gorgeous girls I've ever seen. Military chick.
What a badass.
Oh my God. Badass bitch. And is going out for the bobsledding team in 2026. And she invited me at the end of the show to come to Utah when she comes back from her mission and watch her train. And she's going to suit me up in USA garb and teach me how to bobsled. How fun is that?
Oh my God, you should totally go. I admire a woman like this. Maybe so
you, can you come with me? Will you go with me? How fun would that be?
I don't want to bobsled. I mean, I'll leave that to you. You want to get in that rickety little thing? I mean, have you seen Cool Runnings? Like you lean too far to the right or something. We're fucking flipping over. No way.
He just crashed 4 times at the World Cup.
No, they're going like 60 miles an hour.
Hey, but you could come. You could come. You could put on her USA gear. Yes. You could get a photo op. I'll do it. You could video it.
Yes.
If I die, you could talk all about it on your podcast. You're great.
Oh my God. Like I did with the Kylie Jenner cookie reveal. I'll do the play-by-play.
Let's talk about that.
Hopefully you make it.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Now, girl, what is wrong with you that you, first of all, how many hours of your life are you allocating to standing in lines in LA these days?
You know what? Too many. But now I think I'm going to become known as the line girl. So I think I'm going to have to like keep it up. You know,
why don't you bring your merch to that to sell?
I'm going to. I've had it. Yesterday was the final straw. I mean, it's the only second line I've ever stood in that long.
Explain to our listeners what you did.
All right. So it started like a month or so ago. Something about her sandwich shop made famous on Vanderpump Rules. They had a grand opening. I went and stood outside of the sandwich shop. It was the most poorly disorganized thing. I don't care. I stand by this. Yes. Ariana and Katie were there. And I've never seen celebrities actually slicing the bread and putting the mayo on it, which is what they had those two doing. They had no PR person. It was a disaster. The long story short is I waited like 5 or 6 hours myself. And by the way, 300 other people. They closed the doors in our face at 4:00. The two women came out and took a photo and that was it. They never communicated to us that we would never get sandwiches, that they never handed out samples. This is like a grand opening. It was so.
I don't get it. I don't. That's terrible. So you never even got to the front of the line to order a sandwich?
No, they never communicate. We had to go up to the little, the young woman who was the hostess. I was like, what's the story? We've been waiting for 5 hours. Are we getting a sandwich or not? Just like, tell us. I don't know. Let me go find out. She goes and talks to Katie Maloney, like the star of the show. Katie's like, yeah, we're out of 5 sandwiches. We're closing the doors at 4. There's no free samples. So they can wait if they want to wait. And we're going to come out and take some photos. Like, no,
people never close down.
Do I think it's going to wait? Do I think like eventually we'll close?
Yeah.
That's a great question. I don't know, because I actually heard yesterday when I was waiting in line that they still have huge lines and Katie Maloney is like managing the shop.
Why wouldn't they stay till late at night and make a million sandwiches or go in at 4 in the morning that they could sell? I mean, it makes no sense.
Why were they making the sandwiches there? Like, they know they're on a huge nationally known show. Everything should have been pre-boxed, pre-made. The women should have been at a step and repeat. You buy one sandwich per person limit.
And you get a photo.
You get a photo, you're out. Anyway, don't get me started. So yesterday, like, this has become a thing because I went viral for this. So yesterday, I had heard Kylie Jenner and Crumble Cookie teamed up in West Hollywood. They were doing a palette, meaning like these beautiful colored cookies in Kylie kind of colors. And they were, the first 100 people were getting her elixir, blur elixir makeup right for your face.
Okay.
I go down there. Now, last time I was dogged because I showed up, like something about her opened at 10 a.m. I showed up at 11. People were like, you don't deserve a sandwich. You weren't there early. Okay. Yesterday it opened at 9. I showed up at 8. Enormous line. 300 people in line prior to me. Been waiting since 5, 6 a.m.
But for a cookie?
For a cookie and an elixir that you can buy for $30. I go to myself, fuck, I got to start going to these events at like 5 a.m. Wait in line.
Kylie going to be there?
No. And they were great. The Crumble PR rep came out very early and told everyone in line, Kylie is not appearing. We have plenty of cookies. You can wait in line. Only the first 100 people get the blur elixir. Here's the issue. When they opened the doors,
did you make it to the front?
Yes. I got the cookies.
Were they good?
Yeah, some of them were. People are very polarized on Crumble cookies because a lot of people feel
they're
like
too much. It's too much.
And they're too sweet. Well, I didn't like, here's the
that. I'm looking at the video of you behind me right now. It's huge. And my daughter loves them and she buys the 4-pack and it's like $20. And then she takes a bite out of each one and she leaves it there. It's terrible. I don't like the way that they're done.
They're genius, though. $1 billion evaluated company. So anyway, some of the cookies were actually good. And I do think that they're taking people's advice. I think they've cooked the cookies more. These were pretty cooked. There was one that was kind of raw, but I think they are cooking them more. So super well done. Shout out. I will say this, and I'm being honest. Crumble's PR people were fantastic. They communicated the entire time. The bad side of this was they actually individually, it took me 3.5 hours to get these fucking cookies. It's just because, I'm mentally ill.
So what's your next one?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to like, when it pops up, when I see it, I'll go to it.
Oh, okay. So there's no,
I'll give it an honest review.
Well, I know you and I are going to Celine.
Oh, I'll go to Celine. I'll meet you in Vegas and go to that. I would love to go to that. This is it to see her.
Or another thing we need to do is go to the Sphere. We could do a review of the Sphere. You want to go to the Eagles with me?
Oh, I just went to the Eagles. It was one of the greatest concerts ever.
Have
you seen them?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I sat on the Kiam Forum. Unfreaking believable.
Well, how would you feel about seeing them at the Sphere with me?
I'll go again. Oh my God. The greatest show I went. Don Henley, I know, is like a douche, but what an insane artist.
Why is he a douche?
I think it's Don's way or the highway. Did you see the Eagles documentary?
No.
I mean, Don's kind of a dick. Like Don runs the show. But I mean, he's probably one of the greatest song artists of all time.
Okay.
Not to mention, you know, he's incredible. He can play amazing instruments. Joe Walsh, unbelievable on the guitar. These guys are in their 70s. Now,
I've had Joe's daughter on my show, Lucy Walsh. She can get us amazing tickets, she said.
Lucy, your dad is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't like speak very well. No offense, Luce, but you know, he's a great guitarist. So maybe she'll uninvite me, but he's unbelievable. Those guys, plus they're genius. Then they brought in Vince Gill, the incredible country artist. Vince Gill,
yes,
sings backup. And then who's the guy? He died and his son now is the drummer. Unbelievable. I'll go see the Eagles again. Oh my God. They were unbelievable.
All right, so we're gonna do a review of one or the other, or maybe both.
I would go see them in a heartbeat.
Okay, before we wrap up, I do want to talk about something I brought up to you a little bit earlier off camera, is that a friend of mine, well, I guess this is out there. You guys will have to write us and tell us, but this is the first time it was brought up to me. My friend, AJ Benza, who is going to be on my show next week.
Who I love, by the way. What a 90s, oh my God. He lives here in LA. You have to introduce us. Legendary gossip columnist.
We're going to bring him to Celine, actually.
One of my favorite people on Howard Stern. I think he punched stuttering John or whatever. It was so good. Those were the best Howard days. I loved AJ Benza.
Ah! He has the best stories. He was good friends with Tupac, with Mickey Rourke, with, you know, he just is like the epitome of gossip. He is the OG. Okay, anyway, he forwarded me an excerpt from Kim Porter's memoir. Kim Porter, for those of you that don't know who that is, it's the woman who was married to Puff Daddy, Sean Diddy Combs, for a while, I guess, whatever, died of pneumonia. There are all sorts of rumors out now based on her memoir that was unpublished because she died of pneumonia, where she goes into great detail and she was writing a book about how she told Puffy it was over. She was going to expose him, that she had walked in on him having sex with, again, unpopular opinion that I'm going to say this, but I'm just regurgitating information that, you know, was from her book. She was a witness to him, who's the guy? Snoop Dogg coming out of the bedroom undressed. Then the door was open to the bedroom. It was a threesome because Puffy was in bed snuggling with Will Smith. That also she had been around for Justin Bieber and some other names that I won't even go into because it was like too, almost sounded too far-fetched, but, and then
this is alleged, by the way, alleged.
Alleged based on what she was going to write in her book. I mean, these pages are written. I read what she had wrote. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wait, and AJ Benza, I mean, he is a credible source, but I'm just going to say this because I mean, Diddy really doesn't have anything to stand on, but like this is coming from a legitimate person. AJ says these are the actual script pages.
Yes, he forwarded them to me.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So AJ is, I'm going to have AJ on next week, get to the bottom of it. And then, because I'm just regurgitating information that I heard, right? So when he breaks it down for me, I will break it down for you guys. So, you know, I still don't understand why Puffy has not been arrested. I think they're working on a bigger case. I think that there's a lot more people involved. I think that there's nothing wrong. You know, it's not illegal to be gay. It's not illegal to have gay sex. It's illegal if you're using it to hide things and extort people.
You know, supposedly he was trafficking women, you know, like forcing women to go across state lines, have sex with other rappers, come to his party, beat him off, whatever the fuck he was doing. I just am so glad. Don't you? Thank God. I'm so glad I was never put in his realm. You know, he's like, he went to Howard University. He was always in DC. And people
were always at my parties and I was in charge of the celebrities. And he was the one celebrity that I did not know. He went through the owners of Tao, not me, all men, by the way. I know every other celebrity. I've had some sort of interaction, everyone from T.I. to whoever. He was the one that I did not know. And I always was like, oh, I should be invited to these white parties. I'm the one that they have to go through to come to my club. And I just never interacted with him. Thank God. You know, I mean, it's just, and also she writes about when she was pregnant, she was made to have sex with multiple people.
I believe her. I mean,
I believe her too. And it is basically alleged from what she writes in her book that someone in her life died from pneumonia because she believed that Puffy created that. She died from pneumonia. So I'm going to get more into that with AJ. You know, I just had Spencer Pratt on who was talking about how, remember his wife?
I love your guess.
His wife had all that. She had like 10 different plastic surgery things done at once.
Yeah, Heidi.
But so her doctor, I think his name was Dr. Frank Ryan, was in a bizarre car crash. And there was a new conspiracy theory out, rumor that it wasn't a car crash, that it was Puffy. They killed him because that is the doctor that also did Cassie's boobs. And when Cassie came to, Puffy said, "You better take those out." And he said, "I could kill her. I can't take them out this quickly." And he forced him to take them out. And next thing you know, he was dead. So I don't know. I'm just the conduit of the information.
No, look, I think that people, so many people know how sick he is. It's coming out. And the feds are still investigating. I've seen some lawyers. There's a guy I follow, Joy of Everything, on TikTok. I love him. He's a paparazzi mm-hmm. member that just live streams. And he live streams outside of Craig's. And caught up with one of 50 Cent's attorneys who had some lawsuit or issue. And basically, he broke it down for why the feds are taking so long. And he's like, look, once you're in the feds' crosshair, like, you are not getting out of that without some charge. When you are like raided like that, you know, this isn't an inquiry. You know, this is like a very orchestrated. So he's like, believe me, they are methodically planning,
figuring it out.
There is something very big coming down the line.
Okay. Well, guys, we've kept you on here long enough. We're so honored that you joined us this long. Thank you. If you guys have any suggestions of things, topics you would like to hear us discuss, please slide into our DMs during this week. We are live every Thursday, 12:45 on Rumble, and then we air it subsequently in the next 24 to 48 hours. Later on our podcast, mine is Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Sarah's is The Sarah Fraser Show. You can find these podcasts anywhere you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, anything else you want to promote?
No, that's it. No. You and I both had Mary Brown from Sister Wives.
I needed to ask you what happened?
She was amazing. So you just had her on like a month ago. Mary Brown came on with her best friend, Jen Sullivan. Jen actually started recently appearing on Sister Wives and will be on season 19. So if you are a Sister Wives fan, she gives out even more information. She was obviously on Misunderstood. It was so good. She got into the whole plural lifestyle. And then she answers a lot of the gossip that has been out there on my show and talks about where she stands with Cody and Robin, where she stands with Leon, you know,
was she forthcoming? She's, you know, somewhat guarded.
Yeah. I mean, I thought she was very forthcoming. I mean, I will say, I think all these individuals are very media trained, you know, they know how to deflect or not answer a question. And you know, I think you get this too. I'm very close with some of the people at the network. So occasionally you get some network notes like, hey, can you not ask this? Could you ask that? You know, but I thought she was very forthcoming in what she disclosed. And, you know, she basically says that everything she says about Cody and Robin, she gets in trouble for. So it makes it very hard for her to know what to say. And that sucks when you have somebody that's up your ass. And also now, you know, they're trying to keep this franchise going. It's how they all make money. That's a lot of pressure on people. But she was great. She went into more about how being a businesswoman and, no, I loved it. I loved it. And you did an amazing job on yours. So when we talked about your interview, actually, I think she really liked, I can't remember. I'll find out for next week, but she liked something you asked and she kind of went into, I think it was about dating.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right. Well, she spoke positively about me.
Yes. She loves you. She said she loves you, loves the podcast. And she was like, when I was on Rachel Yucatel's show, I was talking about dating. I was talking about this. So
I'm going to listen to yours. I saw your clips and I thought they were fantastic. So I'm excited. Thank you, guys, listen, we would love for you to join us. If you're listening on one of our audio or video, you know, and you're not listening live, please join us next Thursday at 12:45 because, you know, what's fun about it is we will answer questions. We do have a live chat and also slide into our DMs during the week if you want us to cover some specific topics, but next week might be fun if we want to interact a little more with the audience. Please, we will be putting a link on our Instagram feeds and our stories so you can figure out how to join our live feed. But we love the feedback. Please give us a review and, you know, let us know what your thoughts are. But we love you so much. Thank you for coming every week. And Sarah, I love you. I'll
love you too, Rachel. It was so fun. It's always so fun with you. Enjoy you so much.
Okay, love you.
Mwah. See you soon. Bye, gorgeous.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.